Madam Clerk?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Do you want to just go over the rules of the room, especially since we have several firemen here tonight? Do not want to get in violation of any code.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So in light of the fire regulations, we are at capacity when everyone is in a seat in the assembly chambers, and we have the number of seats that we have the fire capacity for. So we have asked that anyone not able to join us in the room not remain standing. There is overflow seating upstairs in the City Hall conference room, and we have the radio feed on the radio in the conference room. If you choose to testify and you aren't able to stay in the chambers due to the room capacity, the mayor, when he calls names, will give a couple names in advance so that you will know when your name is about to be called for public testimony. And we appreciate everyone's cooperation and understanding on our limitations for City Hall. Thank you.
Thank you. Please rise if you are able for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Edwardson?
Here.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Mayor Kelch?
Here.
A quorum is present.
We have a proclamation honoring Dan Austin. And at this time, if I could have Maureen Hall and anyone else from St. Vincent de Paul Shelter and anyone else from the Juno Coalition on Housing and Homelessness come forward.
Clump up.
Proclamation honoring Dan Austin. Whereas Dan was a founding member of the Juno Coalition on Housing and Homelessness, and whereas today the coalition includes over 30 social service agencies, and whereas the coalition positioned Juno for some of the most effective and well-coordinated homeless response in Alaska, and whereas Dan was instrumental in increasing the St. Vincent de Paul shelter by 12 units to house families, and whereas Dan spearheaded the development of Smith Hall Housing for Disadvantaged Seniors, and whereas Dan shared his expertise and enthusiasm with other entities addressing homelessness, including the Glory Hall and Juno Housing First Project, and whereas Dan supported a street outreach program that from January through June of 2018 made over 200 contacts with 131 individuals experiencing homelessness. And whereas Dan has illustrated a dedication to stewardship of limited funding for the betterment of the lives of the poor. And whereas Dan passed away on July 25th, 2018 at age 71. And whereas Dan Austin spent 30 years advocating for the poor in Juno. Now therefore, I, Kendall D. Kelch, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, on behalf of the City and Borough Assembly, do hereby recognize and honor Dan Austin for his unending dedication to the betterment of Juneau and all of its citizens.
Mayor Kelch, Assembly, and all gathered, on behalf of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, dedicated staff, including Martha, who worked with Dan for 19 years here, our countless volunteers, past and present board members, and our benefactors in the community, I humbly accept this proclamation. I would like to read a brief statement provided by Bob Rayfield, board member who couldn't be here tonight, who served with Dan for over 20 years. Dan was dedicated to finding long-term solutions for the homeless. He treated each client with dignity and respect. His great joy was listening to children running up and down the hallways of our facility because he knew that today they had a bed, a safe place to sleep, and a home. He continued to focus on children as our only solution for breaking the cycle of poverty, which is a great segue for what else is happening tonight. I would like to also add that in our community, Dan was a visionary and served the poorest of the poor, and in doing so, recognized that we are serving Christ himself. Thank you.
Thank you for those words. Tonight we also have special recognition for our attorney, Amy Mead. So, Amy, would you come up here, please? This is a card. Is this mic on or am I just soft?
It is on. It's cranked as high as it'll go.
Tonight we are recognizing outgoing municipal attorney Amy Mead. Ms. Mead joined the CBJ in 2010 as an assistant municipal attorney, working primarily on civic issues. She quickly made her mark on the department. In July of 2013, the Assembly appointed her to the municipal attorney position. As you all know, Ms. Mead was recently appointed to the State of Alaska Superior Court Judicial Service. I know I'm not alone in saying we'll miss her here at CBJ. I'm not saying she was tough on us, but this few words kind of sums it up. Was so much finer than the Assembly singing it. Believe me. Ms. Mead is well known within the organization for her fine legal mind, her phenomenal ability to churn out work, and her excellent and insightful legal guidance. It is no surprise that Ms. Mead was appointed to the bench. She has a firm grasp of both civil and criminal law and has taken on statewide roles serving as president of the Alaska Municipal Attorneys Association. In addition to all her professional accomplishments, her finest achievement sit before us in the chamber, her family. Amy's husband, Travis Mead, is a captain for the Capital City Fire and Rescue, and she has two wonderful and engaging children, Eli and Samantha. Please stand. Thank you for sharing your wife and mother with us these past 2 years. We know that doing so impacted your family life, and we are grateful and appreciative for your sacrifice. Are you coming to sit down? You're not running this.
I want to cue that song up again.
Ms. Mead, you will be difficult to replace. We have appreciated your guidance through the years and your commitment and dedication to the organizations and citizens we serve. Well done, and the best of luck in your new field. We do have a small token of our appreciation to speed you on your journey. Mr. Deputy Mayor, could you hand me that? All right. These are for the days when you don't know who you are, just like I have days when I don't know who I am and why I'm here. All right.
Just the paper.
Okay. Open that. Need some stimulation. It's a coffee card. Emergency rations, you better open that one.
Chocolate.
How did we know? Nights at the office.
Red pen and white out.
This one is show them who's boss.
You're wearing black.
You can use it tonight.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, wait a minute. Last but not least, for thinking on your feet. Do you wish to say anything?
No. Yes. I would just like to say that this is one of the best jobs I've ever had. Even though sometimes you rotate out, you consistently have been one of the best set of nine bosses. And that, in my experience, the people who run the city, the people who work for the city, are some of the best people in our city. They do everything they can do every day to make it a better place. And it's been an extraordinary... What time did you cry? I'm sorry.
All right, you got to walk the walk.
You got to practice.
All rise.
Hopefully not
Later tonight.
Thank you, Amy. Which brings us to approval of the minutes, July 19th, 2018, Special Assembly Meeting 2018-21. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we accept and approve the minutes of July 19, 2018, and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, the minutes are approved. Mr. Manager, are there any agenda changes?
Mr. Mayor, I have one request for an agenda change. That would be item B, public hearing ordinance 2018-11D. That ordinance is not ready for action. The funds are not available. The assembly can't act on it at this time.
All right. So you would like us to remove it from the agenda?
Correct.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Mr. Jones.
Oh, no objection. I just...
Say B, like boy.
Be like boy.
Mr. Mayor, I was wondering if we could, under public hearing, move item H, the resolution 2824, to the front of the public hearing. Should be the first item rather than the last item under public hearing. It's the one related to Best Starts, and I'm sure that there's a lot of people in the audience that here, and I'd like to move that to the front of the public hearing.
Is there any objection to that?
Okay. We can. Thank you.
That brings us
Mr.
to...
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
If I may, Mr. Mayor.
Certainly.
I have a question. I thought I heard the manager say 2018-11D or B. I thought I heard you say B, but it is D?
It is item B.
Item B
under public hearing,
okay.
2018-11D.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Which brings us now, I hope, to public participation on non-agenda item. Madam Clerk, do we have anyone signed up? Items not on the agenda. Under public participation on non-agenda items, if you could, when you're called, state your name and your address, and you'll have 2 minutes to please address the assembly. We'll start with Tom Bouton.
Howdy, Tom Bouton, 15635 Glacier Highway, but I'm speaking tonight for Mr. Dick Hand of 4310 Conifer. He thought he was going to be here, so the best I have is on a cell phone, and the font is just about at the limit of what I can read here, and if it disappears, I'll ask for a lifeline. I'd like to ask the City Council to rethink their approach to the senior citizen tax exemption. I've lived here for 44 years and work in the free enterprise system. I've watched numerous instances of disregard for the seniors in private businesses in order for the city to increase its income level to support other directions rather than live up to their promises. Numerous businesses have closed and left town. Property and inventory taxes take their toll on businesses that are marginal in an unfriendly government environment. Bad decisions by our local government agencies doesn't help. Building a second high school in face of a declining school age population wasn't smart or helpful. A few of us tried to point this out to the school board. The comment in return was the state would pay for it. To tell me the state would pay for the infrastructure of operating the new high school was naive. Then to pay out an additional $12 million to rebuild it should have been classed as gross negligence. Currently, we're faced with a rebuild of the Jack. We are talking about raising the bed tax for operating capital. What happens when this fails like Eagle Crest? We keep taxing the public or use a citizen sales tax exemption. However, we've already taken that. I recommend we have some people on the City Council reevaluate their basic thought processes and maybe find out how business operates instead of figure, well, we'll just tax them when our plan screws up. Think about what you're doing before you do it and keep up with your promises. So that's from Mr. Hand. I'll just add, you had such a terrible process and such a truncated process that this senior tax exemption issue isn't going to go away. You're just going to have angry people out there at all times. And, of course, everybody has options of bringing trucks and cars up from Seattle and Idaho. They advertise in Alaska Airlines magazine.
Can we ask you just to summarize?
You bet. So, please, this isn't going to go away. You just got all these angry people out there. Do something about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bouton.
Thank you.
Kathy Bouton.
Kathy Boutin, 15635 Glacier Highway, Juneau. I'm reading the words of Tim Armstrong, who could not be here tonight. He lives at 8169 Thunder Street in Juneau, and this is what he had to say. I didn't spend the CBJ into the red. For 45 years, I paid this municipality every dime it asked for, requested, demanded, etc., in the form of school taxes, city sales taxes, borough taxes, property taxes, wholesale taxes on specific retail items, and excise taxes as well. I trusted the municipality to use discretion on how it spent or invested the money derived from me, only to find special interests siphoning off funding designated for essential government services. It became my responsibility to suddenly support a ski resort I never skied, a skating rink I never skated, a swimming pool I never swam, schools I never attended, parking garages with no room for public parking, a private theater group that should have been self-supporting, and legal defenses for those who illegally allocated funds to build a useless attraction that pleases only a very few people in the community. I paid my dues for 45 years here as a resident, homeowner, taxpayer, contributor to local projects and events, and supporter of virtually every youth program in the community. And I am not a retired government employee with a pension. I earned every dime I made. Even with all that, the CBJ Assembly saw fit to renege on a promise of tax forgiveness for senior citizens, a promise made 40 plus years ago, reversed only after the eligible recipients were incapable of recapturing a 40-plus year investment in and commitment to the community. Why should any Juneau resident trust anything the Assembly enacts, says, or does when we've seen what the word of our local governing body is worth? That's from Tim Armstrong. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tim. Next is John Pugh, followed by Ron Somerville.
John Pugh, 1011 D Street, and I wanted to actually come up here and thank the Assembly and CBJ for incredible rebuild of our project playground at Twin Lakes. And the community, I just wanted you to give a different thing than we just heard about how great this community is. We had hundreds of volunteers that came out and helped to rebuild that playground. I want to particularly thank three people, two of them who had to resign from the Assembly, but Norton Gregory was one of our building captains and did a great job. Jesse Keel was there almost every day, and last day with his two girls, and then Beth Weldon was there as well, helping us build. I do know I've spotted you, Jerry, but I think it was for lunch one day. I'm not sure you were on the build, but anyway, there was a free lunch, so that was good. So the other person, Bo, I really want to specially thank tonight, and I hope that people, whenever they see him, will do that, is Michael Coleman, who works for CBJ Maintenance. It was unbelievable. He was there 14 hours a day, every single day, working a tool shed, going to get tools from the CBJ Maintenance to make sure we had the right tools, and also going and fixing things at the maintenance shop to get things done out there. He's just an incredible individual, very soft-spoken, and never out there to get any kind of recognition at any time. His wife also was there as head of the art project, doing all the arts and painting and so on. They are one powerful couple in getting things done here in Juneau, and I just wanted to say thank you to them, and I hope each and every one of you see the Colemans will thank them for what they did and the effort. There's lots of other people to thank, but that was incredible, the amount of work there. And I know because I was there 5 days a week, 12 hours a day with Michael, but he was there earlier than me and later than me in terms of doing it. So.
Thank you, Mr. Pugh. Mr. Somerville.
Thank you. Thank you very much. My name is Ron Somerville. I live now at 8126 Keegan Street, and I'll move to the Valley. And I wasn't going to talk, but I've been watching the papers, and I want to talk about the senior sales tax. I see that the homeless, the JAC, subsidized daycare, emergency responders have more priority for this assembly than do seniors. Even though your plan says you're going to cater to seniors, it doesn't show up in your actions. You want us to continue to support rate increases, sales taxes. However, we seniors contribute over 40% of the volunteers in this community. And you, as I said the last time I spoke, you threw them under the bus because it was convenient. Now, it seems like anybody comes here in numbers and testifies, which there was over 100 and some seniors here opposing taking away our sales tax, you chose to do the exact opposite. 10 people show up and support something, you give them $1 million. We're having a hard time rectifying that. Anyway, I agree with Tom. Seniors are not going to go away. They're going to continue to vote, and they're not going to like what the assembly is proposing. Someday you're going to resent it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Somerville. That is all the people that we have signed up for public comment on non-agenda items. That brings us back to the consent agenda. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to make consent agenda changes other than ordinances for introduction? Is there anyone from the assembly that wishes to make consent agenda changes? Assembly action. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of the consent agenda with the following two changes: that ordinance 2018-11D is removed at the manager's request, and resolution 2824B moves up in the agenda per Mr. Jones's request. And I ask for unanimous consent.
Mr. Mayor, neither one of those two are on the consent agenda.
They're on the next one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for letting me go that far.
Sorry,
I'll show up for the food later.
I was lost thinking about how good your chili was, Jerry.
So, Mr. Nankervis, what is your motion?
Swing number two. I move adoption of the consent agenda as proposed and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, the consent agenda is approved. That brings us to public hearing, resolution 2824B, if that is correct.
A resolution calling for an advisory ballot proposition on city and borough financial support for improving and expanding access for all Juneau families to affordable, high-quality child care and early learning preschool.
Mr. Manager.
This resolution places before the voters of Juneau on October 2nd, 2018, an advisory question regarding CBJ providing financial support for improving and expanding access for all Juneau families to affordable, high-quality child care and early learning preschool. This is a non-binding measure. This effort is expected to cost up to $2.8 million of CBJ funding in the fifth year when the program is fully implemented, thereafter adjusted for inflation annually. In accordance with the taxable value in the CBJ in 2018, a $2.8 million expenditure would ultimately require the equivalent of 0.58 mill rate increase, resulting in a property tax increase of $58 for each $100,000 of assessed property value. The Assembly Finance Committee discussed this resolution at its July 25, 2018 meeting. Whether to place this on the ballot or not is a policy question for the Assembly. I have no recommendation at this time.
Mr. Nankervis? Yes, we're at public comment. And the first person that we have signed up will be Samantha Adams, followed by Joy Lyons. I would like to just go back over some of our following public participation procedure, and that's give each speaker the respect to express their views on subject without applause or jeers. It's tough enough coming up in front of the assembly without anything else going on. So, Samantha Adams, and you will have 2 minutes, Ms. Adams.
My name is Samantha Adams, 3875 Kilowich Drive, and I had intended to come here tonight and tell you my story, which I've emailed all of you. However, you guys know my story. I've been here several times, and I've been a longstanding child care provider and advocate on behalf of children and families in our community. And as I drove here tonight, something occurred that made me realize you guys need to hear a different part of the story. I stopped off at a family's home to drop off some slime that I had offered to them for their children. And as I went inside the house, the mother proceeded to tell me a story about her 2-year-old in unknown child care here in Juneau that was spanked for wetting her pants. Her son was put into a timeout for 20 minutes, and he's 4. And I looked at her and I said, well, have you looked elsewhere? What are you going to do? And she said, I'm going to have to quit my job. Because that's the only alternative families in our community currently have. They don't have access to high quality care. And if you think that the potential for a mental health impact on a 2-year-old for being shamed for a bodily function, isn't a burden we're going to bear in 15 years, I think that that's short-sighted. I think that we as a community need to do more for our young children because our district, our school district inherits them, and then we as a community inherit them. And if we continue to not address the capacity and quality issues within our community for young children from birth to age 5, we see the positive impacts for children that have had that access to quality care, but we also see the negative ramifications of lack of access to care.
Thank you for your testimony. Joy Lyons, followed by Kevin Ritchie.
With your permission, I'd like to trade places with our family so that they have an opportunity.
Everyone a favor. Yes.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Sarah Schaefer, and I'm here with my husband, Mark Calvin, and our son, Christopher. First of all, thank you so much for do a public hearing on this issue. I live at 745 St. Anne's Avenue with my husband. We've called Juno home since 2011 and 2010, respectively. We are the parents of 17-month-old Christopher, who you all heard tonight. I mean, we just really wanted to share our story. When we found out that I was pregnant, we immediately thought we took the appropriate steps that were necessary. We secured spots at multiple daycare waiting lists that have infant spots. They're not many. Lined up family to fly into Juneau to bridge the daycare gap. Made significantly financial adverse career changes. Explored nanny daycare options with friends. Lost countless nights of sleep over our precarious situation of not having a spot lined up. It's impossible for us to adequately convey in these short few minutes the kind of stress it caused us to not have any daycare lined up for our son. After the train of family and friends left town, I had no choice but take Christopher to work with me. You just got a little bite of that, how that is like. I could not afford to quit my job, and my employer was extremely kind to accept Christopher at work. Fortunately, I have a wonderful employer. After nearly a year of waiting, we miraculously received a daycare spot full-time for our infant. You cannot imagine that relief. At Discovery Preschool, many of our friends in similar situations were not so lucky. A lot of them work part-time or even quit their jobs. Because we couldn't afford a full-time spot, we split with another couple whose baby is our age, and after months, we had to switch to full-time daycare, though we really didn't have the money for it, but we both work full-time. Christopher loves Discovery Preschool. He thrives there, and we count ourselves extremely fortunate that we now pay $13,440 per year for daycare there. Beginning September, the cost will rise to $14,100. This does not include any after-hour daycare, and we receive no subsidies.
Sarah and I both hold graduate degrees and consider ourselves to be in our most productive professional years. We earn negligibly more than the Juno median household income of $87,436 and have had to borrow money every month to pay for daycare. Unaffordable daycare in Juno is a crisis, not only for us with young children, but we believe for the entire community. It drives young parents like us out of this community, educated professionals, active in the community, earning average wages, and without local family support to help bridge the daycare gap. Last month, we sold our home in Douglas and are leaving town at the end of September. While we're very sad to leave this community behind and our close-knit circle of friends that we'll certainly have for life, we're also relieved. We decided to leave Juno because we can't afford to raise our son here. When faced with a choice of staying in the status quo and falling further into a financial abyss to raise our son here, or move down south and be on much more solid financial ground, it was a simple decision, which is why we're leaving. Sadly, Christopher won't contribute to the future of this community. The current daycare model in Juno is broken. Although our daycare costs are astronomical, they barely cover the cost for providers to stay open, and we certainly do not fault Discovery for what they charge. The high cost of daycare prices some people out of this service or drives others like us out of this community. If parents don't make significantly more than the average wage and or have a no or loss, low care cost for daycare, we can't in good conscience right now recommend Juno as a good place to raise a baby between 0 and 5 years old. We respectfully and strongly urge the CBJ Assembly to not only support Best Starts, but also commit yourselves and the CBJ to unequivocally leading the way towards a long-term, sustainable solution that will lower the price of daycare and make it possible and ideal for people to raise young children here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Lyons, followed by Mr. Ritchie.
Good evening. My name is Joy Lyon. I'm the director of the Association for the Education of Young Children, and my new home address is 404 12th Street, West 12th Street, here in Juneau. And I've been attending quite a few of these assembly meetings lately, but only a smidgen of the number of hours that you all have devoted. And I really just want to thank you, and I'm so grateful for all of the energy and the time and commitment that you have for our city in making the best decisions to move our community forward. And there is no more important issue before you than the critical years of young children during birth to five and how we support them in our community. As you've heard from the parents, how important that childcare is to their economy and our whole community's economy. Now this afternoon I got out my file of all the presentations on childcare I've given to the assembly in the last since 2003. So that's 15 years. And many of you were not here then, but when many of these earlier presentations were, you know, really good at describing the problem and inviting the assembly to help participate in solutions. And then in 2012, the assembly funded the Hearts Initiative, thanks in part to Jesse Keel's leadership on that, and is now proven to be highly successful in retaining and stabilizing a qualified workforce in childcare. And then Kevin Ritchie began asking, well, what would it take to solve the problem? What do you need? What would it take? And so for several years, a group of dedicated people have been coming together and really pondering that and exploring what are other models in the nation that work and really putting together a solid plan that's the most economic possible. And so here we are tonight, and we're all to say that we're asking you tonight to let the people vote. Let the people vote. Let them become informed on this issue, and let them have their way in on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lyon. Kevin Ritchie, followed by Lou Ann McVeigh.
Hi, Kevin Ritchie, 3184 Pioneer Avenue. And I don't think I could add
anything to what you've already heard tonight and what you've heard over the past year. I think you all are really familiar with the question. And the policy that you're here to deal with tonight is, does the public really want to make this change, and does the public really want to pay for it? Because obviously it's going to cost some money to fix something and do something new. My feeling very strongly was 100 years ago or 50 years ago, whenever the school systems were set up, if they had known that 0 through 5 was the most important years in a child's life in terms of determining how they're going to deal with school and their future, they would have made the school system a lot different. The school system obviously couldn't work if every parent had to pay the full cost of the school district. It's about $80 million a year. That would be a lot for a parent to pay out of pocket, way more than child care. But I think since we're going into a new area of service that we haven't been in before, which is working with providers of child care to make sure that they can afford to provide quality service for all the children in the community, not just some, that it is a new area of service, and it's one that legitimately I think the Assembly can ask the public their opinion on. And so I very, very much hope that you do that tonight, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Richard.
Thank you.
Hi. Thanks for being here, and thanks for all of your work on behalf of Juneau's citizens. I'm Luann McVeigh, 1507 2nd Street, Douglas, and I'm a retired teacher here in Juneau. And I spent most of my career, probably two-thirds of it, as a literacy leader and a reading teacher. So I worked with a lot of little kids who really needed extra help. And what I saw when I was working with them were children who didn't have a whole lot of early childhood experiences with literacy. So that's the reason why this Best Starts program is important to me. I really believe that all kids deserve equal access to literacy and wonderful education. And it might not happen that way if kids aren't able to be provided with quality child care when they're little. If their parents are unable to get away to work, then that means the parents are staying home with the kids. And their experiences probably would not be as rich as if they were in a quality child care environment where there's lots of affection, where it's safe, they have wonderful experiences outdoors and interacting with each other. It makes a big difference. Kids are so much more successful when they have those rich learning environments for early years. And so I really hope that we can turn this over to the people of Juneau and allow our population to weigh in, because it's really important to the success of our community to have our kids be successful too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all the people I have signed up. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify on this issue? Okay, seeing none. I'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Resolution 2824B, and I recommend unanimous consent.
Is there objection? I would object. So, and I would like to speak to my objection. I arrived where I am now by following up with some Best Start proponents after our last budget cycle when it was not funded. And this is the most tenacious group that you can find. They were here for sales tax, they were here for the budget, and now they're here for a proposition. In my meeting with members of the Juneau community, including parents and employers, and I ask employers to come in also, child care always comes up first and foremost. You don't have to convince me that child care is a need in this town. The educational component came up after the child care component as something that is very desirable, but not necessarily was the first thing that came up. But again, child care is always mentioned first. I could support this if we would take out the portion of the resolution concerning property tax and also the cost. That, to me, puts the next assembly in a situation I would not like to see them put in. I think, the proposition should be on child care and child care only, not on $2.8 million, and that money would come from property tax. I think there's some other creative ways we can work with the school district and work with other entities to not necessarily have to use property tax on that. So those are my objections to this particular resolution. And as the chair, I shouldn't be making motions necessarily on taking those two things off the resolution. But if no one else wants to, I would like to put those out before you. Ms. Podeszewski?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We did go through this several times in the normal budget cycle, and I think everybody recognizes the child care issues that we have in our community. I was not supportive of spent. This is a new service, a new aspect of a work that the city has never done before. And I felt it's important that it should be on the ballot to ask people if they are willing to pay for it. The way I read the resolution, it doesn't say that it exactly for sure will come out of property tax, but it gives people notice that something has to give, that we don't have $2.8 million lying around to fund this, that we would have to increase taxes in some way. And I think it gives voters, it's not just a vote, do you think child care is a problem and do you support funding child care? It's do you support funding child care and are you willing to pay some increased taxes for it? And you're absolutely right, Mr. Mayor. We can cobble together a different funding package, but it will likely require some increases in revenue. And so that's why I think it's important that it stays in the resolution to give people on notice that they're not just saying, do you support this activity, but do you support this activity, and are you willing in some measure to raise revenue for it? I think it's important that that remains in the resolution in some way. If you want to wordsmith it in some way, I wouldn't. We could take it at ease and have at it. But to me, it's important that people not just vote for yes, support child care, but yeah, we have to pay for it in some way. Thank you.
Mr. Jones.
Thank you. I would agree with Ms. Glaszewski. And especially, it is important that if this assembly is going to look at potentially moving in a different direction with child care and pre-K, going to some form of quality child care that includes a lot of pre-K, gets more kids kinder ready, gets more kids ready to come to school to learn, I think it is important and incumbent on us to tell the people when they vote, this is what we think it will cost. This is where we think we can get the increased money. It would be really terribly unfair to the public to put something out without telling them where we think we're going to get the money. And while I think the next assembly will certainly have to grapple with this, I think it would be more unfair to the next assembly to have the public say, yes, we support this, but have nothing on the ballot that gives direction to the next assembly. The next assembly needs to know that the public read the initiative, they studied the issues, they listened to both sides, they saw what it might cost, they saw where we might take the money, and if in turn then they support it, gives extremely clear direction to the next assembly. It does not put the next assembly in any quandary at all. It gives the next assembly the direction. Given the changes that are going to take place in this assembly after October, I think it is clear that if the public supports this, then we need to have that funding in there so that the next assembly also understands that they've been given clear direction from the people, that they understand how this would be funded. If there was any motion, and I'm not sure I heard one, to take out any reference to the funding mechanism, I would have to oppose it. I think it is really, really incumbent upon this body to be very, very clear to the public what we're asking of them so that we get as clear an answer from them as we can get. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Mr. Rudd.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to see this resolution stay intact and go onto the ballot. And one of the reasons is this isn't a new resolution. This is an evolution that has gone back several meetings. And we've asked the proponents of this to do one thing, to do another thing, and then we've added to it. This is the progression of a long road, as in Best Starts and the child care within it as part of a system. So I worry that if we change it at this stage, that would send people back to the drawing board. I haven't made a secret of the fact that I'm a big proponent of the system. Yes, child care is an emergency, but getting children kinder ready also is a long-term solution to all of the things that are costing us money right now. Things like homelessness, things like addiction, things, just any number of different things. If this can cure it, I do believe that we need short-term and long-term solutions. And this is potentially a long-term solution. And I think it's worth a try. So I would like to see it stay intact and go on the ballot. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Welcome. And we're in a unique position tonight with seven assembly members that it will take five votes to pass anything. And I already heard three people against it, so we will move back to where we are. So we have the motion before us.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This, as many of you must know, this is a very difficult decision because I taught school for 30 years. Certainly saw children in very difficult situations where home life was not the best. And I first was on this committee that was making all these decisions because I thought it was going to be preschool. And I 100% support us putting money into preschool, which is not just, it's not daycare. It starts at like 3 or 4. And the assembly has been helping with putting money into the schools to get that type of program going. And the state has supported. Maybe the state is the one that should be here at the table and making this decision to give the money to our community for our kids. Going back to the birth, which is really, I never heard anything different. I never heard we're going to start child care at 2. But going back to birth or whatever, it is a very expensive proposition. That is very expensive. And if the vote goes as a yes, then we will have to be making decisions about where we're going to get the money for this. And probably it will just come out of all kinds of other things that we should be also supporting that are more definite community, not just parents. And I don't mean just parents. Heaven only knows I'm a parent, and I don't mean that. But this, I find this very, very tough to do, to talk about. I wish that we were dividing the question, actually. Talked about preschool, talked about daycare. But that's just, they're two different things, and they take different money. And they're going to serve different children and different families. There are some families that are not going to be able to afford this program. And I think there's going to be money requested from most of the families. Let the people vote sounds very, very nice. Sounds like the right thing to do. And at the same time, it's an expensive vote. And it really is being taken in a vacuum. We don't have it lined up against many, many other things that have to be paid for. Just simple things like water and sewer. You know, our bills for water have gone up 37, something like that. I did have the numbers. Maybe I still do. They went up, let's see. Our water and sewer bills have gone up from 37 a month, which has been some years ago. Now it's 140 a month. And they're trying to get us to raise it and make more, you know, make it a higher cost because they want to put in lots of other things. Anyway, I'm really having a hard time with this. I feel like letting the people vote. I don't think that some of the people who need to be making this decision will go to the polls and vote. I do think it will be a select group, and then the select group will choose what happens to the rest of the population. I do think it's important to let the people know how much it's going to cost, what the dangers are to our budget and our city when we put this much money, because 2.8 will not be enough. It will go to 3 and so forth. And it's a reoccurring bill. It's every year, because we can't just stop it. Well, maybe we can. But supposedly part of this was that the businesses were going to hire the moms and the dads who weren't giving child care anymore. That's going to be hard to pull that away from the businesses. Certainly going to be hard to pull it away from the parents who are depending on someone to watch their one-year-old. I really thought long about this. It's very difficult for me because I want to do what's best for kids, but I'm not sure that this is the best thing for kids when you put it in with a city government that has many people, and not all of them have kids.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Anyone else wish to discuss? Mr. Van Kervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will speak against the motion for several reasons, none of which are pleasant, but I will speak against it because there's some items in here that I like. There's some things I like about it, but I want to reiterate some numbers for some folks. The city put in $28 million this year to the school district. The city put in $1.3 million over the cap to the school district. The city gave roughly $130,000 more this year for pre-K to start it at a second school. And we also give to the Hearts Initiative, I think it's to the tune of $90,000 a year. Maybe that's the ACEs that we do. And when I first heard this, it came before us as an item to be put on our temporary 1% sales tax. That's for capital projects. This isn't a capital project. This is an ongoing budget item. This would basically subsidize daycare wages or increase them, both ways, subsidize and increase, approximately 50%. And that would be the city subsidizing wages in the private sector. That causes me great concern. Great concern. Again, I can appreciate what folks are trying to do with this, but that causes me a lot of concern when we start manipulating the pay in the private sector. I talked to folks and I said, we don't have the money for this, as Ms. Gladyszewski suggested. And I said, so I threw out the suggestion, what would you cut to make this happen? Because I don't believe in increasing the taxes during a recession. I've said that before and I'll say it again tonight because I just did. I haven't heard one suggestion, not one, on what to cut. And I can tell you from sitting here, when we talk about cutting anything at all, we hear about it. So I haven't heard that. There's been comments today and other days that relate to licensed daycare. And it could be implied that unlicensed daycare isn't good. And I want to reiterate what I heard another assembly member say earlier this year, that just because it's not licensed doesn't mean it's not good. I had my kids in both daycare, licensed and the licensed daycare. I didn't have any issues with either one of them or concerns with either one of them. But I put them where I could find them, where I could find daycare. It's been an issue for years and years in this town. It's been an issue. I think this should be a state program. I don't think it should be a city program. I think this should be a state program. The state, albeit is in tight financial constraints, but has far more money to administer a program like this than the city does. And while most folks think that it's a homeowner increase when it's a mill rate. It's a property owner increase as a mill rate. Rents go up just as well. So, as Ms. Becker said, this is very tough decision. And I think putting it on the ballot is a punt. As I told somebody earlier today, I think it's second down and I'm punting. I'm supposed to make tough decisions. The toughest decision you ever make sitting up here is to say no, hands down. It's real easy to sit up here and say yes. It's real hard to say no. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're listening to the regular meeting of the City and Borough Juneau Assembly meeting on KTOO Juneau.
Sorry, I wrote farther down in the margin. I missed it. What we haven't talked about, but myself and several other assembly members have mentioned this before, is that we are at $1 million increase in our operating budget, and that's an approximate already this year, $1 million increase. And it's not sustainable without raising taxes or making cuts. And we haven't done either of those things yet as a body, and that's probably coming without this. So that also weighs into my concerns. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess I would disagree a little bit with what I heard from Mr. Nankervis. I don't think it's fair to say we haven't made cuts. It's true we didn't make cuts this year. But over the years I have served in this assembly, we have in fact cut the budget. Probably tired of hearing me reference it, but I cast a vote that sent a personal friend of mine a pink slip. It's no fun. Mr. Nankervis is certainly right about that. But I disagree with the notion that the Juneau Assembly doesn't prioritize and look both at reductions as well as programs. So when I look at this ballot question, I think it's really important that we send it forward. And I think it's important in part because our economic development plan calls very explicitly for us to address the child care issue here in Juneau. We've done a little bit on that. We certainly loosened the Dickens out of the zoning a few years ago, which helped a little bit. We do have a direct wage support for some limited cases through the HEARTS initiative. And that's been, each of those was successful so far as they went. What we really have is a situation where the business model isn't working in our community, and there are a myriad of reasons for that. I think it's important to note that that myriad of reasons exists despite the fact that the state does provide for lower-income folks a significant child care subsidy. I'm going to get the number wrong, but it's north of $600. So even with the state participating to a much, much greater extent than we are looking at here, we have this problem. And we had folks tell us again tonight, they're leaving town. And we saw that in the numbers that led to our economic development plan, and including child care, as something that's essential to Juneau's future economy. I certainly know when, what was the book that we were, a bunch of people were passing around.
When the boomers bail.
Demographics and sort of your economy. I think the message was pretty clear about, part of that message was about making sure you do have young people and young workers coming in as part of a total package and total picture. No one group to the exclusion of others. But it's a tough one. So, yeah, we looked at that a little bit in this year's budget. I know we added one kinder-ready classroom. I was doing the math a minute ago. 20 kids, 9-month program, $777 a month is what the CBJ put into that. This ballot measure, we're looking at, if the voters approve it, something closer to 200. I think there's room for more than one model. Certainly, I support our investments in the school district tremendously. But I think there's room for more than one model, and high-quality childcare can be a very successful model, along with preschool, which does cost a lot more. I think they do different things. But I think it's important that we let the voters weigh in on whether we want to go down the daycare route. So to the mayor's comment about the language in here, I disagree a little bit with Mr. Jones. I don't think this instructs a future assembly to change property taxes. Those are not the words on the ballot. It gives a worst-case scenario. If the assembly does no other prioritizing, reduces nothing else, goes to no other revenue source, puts it all on property tax, here's what it would cost you. I think, as Ms. Gladyszewski said, that gives the voters a clear-eyed, hard-nosed look at the potential bill. And they'll give us instructions. I would have written this language softer, give a little bit better chance of passage, but there it is. We hashed through it in committee. I'd like that to be a little gentler on the economic or on the cost piece. But I think it's fair to put a worst case scenario in there and ask the voters to go into it eyes wide open. So I recommend that we put it in front of the people and let them decide a major question. The city hasn't particularly been in this business before. It's a major decision about whether the city should get in. I think it's the right move, but let's let the voters choose. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Mr. Jones, and then Ms. Gladyszewski.
Just one final comment. I really don't believe putting this issue before the voters is a punt. We are down to 7 members. And if I'm out of line tonight, let me know. But as of 5:30 tonight, we have potentially 4 candidates for mayor. We have 5 candidates for District 2. And we have 3 candidates for area-wide. It is not punting to understand that this will be a major part of all of those debates for all of those offices. This will not get a short shrift from anybody. Every candidate is going to have to take a position. Every candidate is going to have to answer questions from the public. That is one of the best vetting mechanisms we have. And to say we are punting to that process in a democracy, I think is just absolutely wrong. Thank you.
Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I actually wanted to mention about the punting idea as well. I think it's the appropriate place for a new activity that the city would be doing, and I agree with others and myself who have said we do not have funding to fund this without some additional revenue, and people should have a chance to vote on it. I think we've heard from lots of people who say support daycare. Many, we've gotten certainly over 100 emails, but the question for me is, will you be willing to raise revenue to support this? And I think that people in the city should have the chance to vote on it. And as to Ms. Becker's issue of daycare versus pre-K, I understand that. I think that there is a real crisis in this community, and it's a real economic drain. People are leaving this community. People are quitting jobs in order to provide daycare for their kids. And I know some people have been able to swing it, but many cannot. And people should have the opportunity to vote on whether they're willing to support that. And I don't have kids. I don't have kids in daycare. People have said, I don't use the pool. I don't use Eagle Crest. I don't use the bus. But that's what we do as a community. We elect a bunch of people to try to do the best they can to provide services to the community. And as Mr. Nankervis said, when we try to cut anything, there's always a constituency here to say don't do that. And so, and that's our job, to try to figure out what is the best balance for the community. But if we're going to do something new, it seems like the community should weigh in on, are they willing to fund it? We cannot just do it without additional funding. So I think, unlike Mr. Keel, that this is appropriate to tell voters. They need to understand that if we're going to do this and if it's important, we have to get money from somewhere. And so I think it's a good proposition, and I hope we support it. Even if you don't support it personally, and even if you're not going to vote for it personally in October, I hope you support putting it on the ballot so that the community has a chance to vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Klaszewski. Any further comment? We'll call the question in just a moment. Again, my problem is property tax. I think that when we raise property tax, we go against one of the things that we're trying to improve, and that's housing. And that comes back down the pipe through increased cost to own your house and your property and in rent. So I think it's not all the easy road when you look at property tax, and so my vote will be no because of the property tax aspect of it. Any further discussion? Clerk, please call the roll. And again, we need, because we're still shy, we still need 5 votes for a positive action.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Mayor Kelch?
No.
Motion fails, 4-3.
Okay, let's take a 10-minute break.
Mr. Keel.
Mr. Mayor, before you do that, can she?
Yes.
I just want to give a notice of reconsideration.
I have to do it on the record.
Okay.
Pardon me?
I'll do it on the record when we get back.
Oh, you already banged the thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're listening to the City and Borough of Juneau Assembly Meeting, regular assembly meeting, on KTOO Juneau. Thank you.
This is Katie B., your alternating host of Stormy Weather Wednesdays 9 to 11 p.m. I'm a sustaining member of the K3 stations, and KRNN is my soundtrack because I'm introduced to great music I won't hear anywhere else, with room for my old favorites. KRNN, 102.7 FM, music and arts for the capital city.
Pounding the ground in a sawn off ballet.
You're listening to KTOO Juno. We're listening to the City and Borough of Juno Assembly meeting. They're taking a 10-minute break. We'll rejoin them as soon as they gavel back in.
Miss Gladyszewski.
She'll come back.
Miss Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move for reconsideration of our last vote.
Reconsideration is noted. And you're looking for?
Not today, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, that's what you needed to,
thank you.
Needed to say.
All right. That will bring us back to public hearing in Ordinance 2017-06 AV. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $9,387 as partial funding for the Industrial Boulevard Capital Improvement Project. Funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Transportation.
Mr. Manager.
The State of Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities has refunded $9,387.37 to the City and Borough of Juneau for matching funds attributed to the DOT reconstruction of Riverside Drive. CIP was included in the CBJ's FY13 Capital Improvement Plan Program and eventually closed out in FY16. The refunded amount was originally made available with sales tax funding and will be now be added to the Industrial Boulevard CIP. This item was heard by the Public Works and Facilities Committee at its regular meeting on August 6, 2018. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to testify on this ordinance? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2017-06 AV, and I recommend unanimous consent.
Seeing and hearing no objection, that motion is carried. Ordinance 2018-11D, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Mayor, this was removed.
Ooh. Thank you. Ordinance 2018-11E. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $2,245,538 as funding for various capital improvement projects at the Juneau International Airport, funding provided by passenger facility charge fees.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate $2,245,538 to various airport capital improvement projects. These funds will reimburse amounts that were forward funded from the airport fund balance and airport revolving CIP accounts and will also provide new match for grants. Funding is provided by fiscal year 18 and fiscal year 19 passenger facility charge PFC 9 collections for 7 capital improvement projects. Total approved collections for PFC 9 are over $9 million and anticipated to take 8 years. They will be appropriated year to year. This is the first. At its July 10, 2018 meeting, the Airport Board approved this action. This item was heard by the Public Works and Facilities Committee at its regular meeting on August 6, 2018. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to testify? Seeing none, Ms. Bartoszewski.
I would move ordinance 2018-11E and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, the ordinance is passed. Ordinance 2018-11F, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $1,972,000 as funding for the Juneau International Airport Gate 2 Passenger Boarding Bridge Capital Improvement Project, funding provided by the Federal Aviation Administration and sales tax revenue.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate $1,972,000 to the Airport Gate 2 Passenger Boarding Bridge Capital Improvement Project. Funding is provided from the Federal Aviation Administration grant in the amount of $1,801,875 and sales tax revenue in the amount of $170,125. FAA funds 93.75% of the project with local match provided by Juneau International Airport from sales tax revenue, which also includes 50,000 contingency funds. Airport Board approved this action at its March 13, 2018 meeting. The Assembly approved forward funding this project in the amount of $1,801,875 via Ordinance 2017-06AJ at its meeting on April 4, 2018. If the Assembly adopts Ordinance 2018-11F, the forward funding of the $1,801,875 will be refunded to the Airport Funds Fund balance. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there anyone from the audience that would like to speak to Ordinance 2018-11F? Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2018-11F. I want to ask for unanimous consent.
Question.
Mr. Keel.
Just for the purpose of a question, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Manager, so the ordinance puts it into the CIP. What's the mechanism through which it gets back to the airport fund balance? Is that going to take a separate appropriating document? Is that something the airport board does? I miss the mechanics.
Mr. Bartholomew.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Keel, what will happen upon the adoption of this ordinance is the funding in the project will be larger than what's needed. And the charter basically directs when a project's completed, all the excess money can be lapsed back to its original source. So it would be an automatic lapsing of that money back into the airport fund balance. Because the funding is no longer needed.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right, it was asked to have unanimous consent on there. Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, Ordinance 2018-11F is approved. Ordinance 2018-11GB. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $361,000 as supplemental funding for the Capital City Fire and Rescue, funding provided by General Funds Fund Balance.
Mr. Manager.
This supplemental appropriation of $361,000 provides funding to support an immediate need to add additional staffing to Capital City Fire Rescue operations. The additional staffing is being added for the purpose of providing expanded EMS service and fire response readiness. This ordinance will appropriate the funds needed to pay for the additional personnel costs within CCFR. Funds will come from the General Funds Fund balance. This issue was discussed with the Committee of the Whole at its July 11, 2018 meeting. Cal directed staff to prepare an appropriating ordinance and move it to the full assembly for induction and public hearing. At the assembly meeting held on July 23rd, the assembly referred the ordinance to the Assembly Finance Committee for review at its meeting on August 8th. At that meeting, the assembly asked that the amount be increased to cover the cost of staffing of a 624 FTEs serving 24-hour shifts, which gives the increase from the original $350,000 to $361,000. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Madam Clerk, do you have the sign-up sheet?
I do.
We do have Lori Craig, who has signed up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. My name is Lori Craig, 10825 Glacier Highway, and I would like to speak in support of this. I did attend the Finance Committee meeting, and even though I am speaking totally for myself tonight, since I retired about 3 months ago, I look out at this scene behind you, and a man almost died over there, but these guys saved his life just before he died. We've had heart attacks. We've had broken hips. We've had so many things happen in view of this amazing place. We have had trained staff at the place where I worked. But yet, when I would hear the sirens come roaring, I always felt better because I knew professionals and heroes were going to take care of the people who were about to die in one way or the other or who needed some medical help. In most cases, we never knew because of privacy laws. We never knew what happened to the people when they were whisked away in that ambulance. But I'm incredibly grateful that they were there, and I want to be sure that we continue to have the support for the fire department. Not only do they do rescues, which is, let's see, ice cave hikers from up there and broken hips, but they've also been proactive in public education. We supported and sponsored ice safety workshops so that people enjoying the lake when it was frozen would know what to do when they fell through the ice. And so we would have a workshop inside the visitor center, and the fire department came out and showed us how to self-rescue, how to rescue other people, and how to save your dog when you went through the ice. It's an incredible public service by preparing people to prevent problems. And so given the other discussions this evening of where are we going to come up with money, I was hoping to be able to support 24/7 for the full ambulance crew. I still believe we need to do that, but I will certainly speak in support of this ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Craig. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify? If you'd come up and state your name and address, please.
My name is Travis Wolf. I'm at 2359 Jordan Avenue, and I apologize. I've been losing my voice, so I'll try to keep this very short. I'm here to speak in support of this. I am the president of the Local 4303, the firefighters union here in town. This is staffing has been something that we've been passionate about and working for as long as I've been with the fire department. And so the only real message I want to convey tonight is thanks, because we've had such wonderful conversations with each and every one of you regarding this issue. And all we've had is just support for us in the work that we do. And I think this ordinance is going to get us that first step that we absolutely need, and that's getting that ambulance on the road 24 hours a day. So I want to continue to work with the assembly, the managers, and the fire chief, so that we can actually get the kind of service that Juno deserves and the community expects. So thank you for everything that you have done to support us, and thank you that everything that the community has done to support us, and please support this ordinance for 24-hour-a-day ambulance service. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf. Anyone else? I'll bring it back to the assembly. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of ordinance serial number 2018-11G, version B, and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? The motion is carried. Brings us to ordinance 2018-28. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the land use code relating to mining.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would amend the City and Borough's Land Use Code as directed by the City and Borough of Juneau Mining Committee. As instructed by the committee, Title 49.65 was rewritten and reorganized to improve clarity without removing any substantive provisions. The Planning Commission considered the ordinance at its meeting on June 26, 2018, recommending it be forwarded to the Assembly with one substantive change to require the release of the financial warranty relating to mining exploration to occur within 6 months. That change is shown by strikeouts, strike-throughs, and italics. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to comment? I'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the Assembly adopt ordinance 2018-28 and ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing and hearing no objection, ordinance 2018-28 is approved. Ordinance 28-42, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance authorizing the manager to sell City and Borough of Juneau property located at 9290 Herlock Avenue to Alaska Legacy Partners.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would authorize the manager to sell the 9290 Herlock Avenue property to Alaska Legacy Partners for $350,000 for the development of a senior-assisted living housing project. After a lengthy committee process on April 16, 2018, the Assembly Committee of the Whole chose the Alaska Legacy Partners proposal. ALP proposes to purchase the property and redevelop it into a senior-assisted living facility. This ordinance requires development that conforms with ALP's proposal. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Is there anyone in the public that wishes to testify? Please come forward. And if you'd state your name and address, please.
Kathleen Strasbaugh, 415 Willoughby. I'm speaking only for myself and not either of the organizations associated with assisted living that I'm associated with. I would hope and expect you to approve this appropriation and decision to sell the property. It's a small step toward meeting our great unmet need for assisted living, and I applaud the creativity of the staff and Legacy Partners for making it work financially, and I urge you to support it.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else from the public that wishes to testify? Seeing and hearing none, I'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Dan Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of ordinance 2018-42. I would ask for unanimous consent.
Seeing and hearing no objection, the motion is carried. Brings us to unfinished business. Mr. Manager.
I have no unfinished business. Thank you.
Brings us to new business. And who is going to handle this? Madam Attorney.
On July 30th, 2018, the Clerk's Office received an appeal of the Airport Board's decision regarding the Terminal Reconstruction Phase 2 project. I'll point you to packet page 162, the motion that was made by the Airport Board, which is attempting to be appealed. In accordance with the appeals code, you must decide whether to accept or reject the appeal. If you determine, after liberally construing the notice of appeal in order to preserve the rights of the appellant, that there has been a failure to comply with the appellate rules, or if the notice of appeal does not state grounds upon which any of the relief requested may be granted, you may reject the appeal. If it is accepted, you must decide whether to hear it yourself or to assign it to a hearing officer. In hearing the appeal, you sit in your quasi-judicial capacity and must avoid discussing the case outside the hearing process. I will also point you to CBJ 0150020, which provides that only final action may be appealed to the Assembly.
Mr. Dan Kervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a question for the attorney then. Has there been any appealable action taken by the Airport Board?
In reviewing the notice of appeal, I did not see that there was anything appealable that had occurred at this stage.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
All right, I'm a little bit confused. So is this a little bit ahead of being heard because there's no action that has occurred?
Well, in the end, Mr. Mayor, it depends on what occurs. At this stage, there hasn't been a final decision by the Airport Board that is appealable in nature. There was a recommendation to move forward with a project. If there is funding associated with that project, that funding package will come to the Assembly for decision. That's a legislative act that is not appealable. So at this stage, I can't find anything in the notice of appeal that would present an appealable decision that you would review under the standard of review that's encompassed in our appeal code.
Okay. Mr. Jones?
Thank you. In light of the attorney's opinion, and I think to some extent my reading, I would move that the Assembly not accept the appeal as grounds being that the attorney finds there's nothing in the appeal. Any of the actions of the Airport Board that at this point are appealable.
Mr. Dan Kervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have an objection. I have a question, though, to the attorney. So based on what you just said, is there anything that the Airport Board can do that would be appealable? And I know that's a big, broad question, but you just said if there's financing that's tied to us and we approve that, that's not appealable. So what would be, if anything, appealable from the Airport Board?
Related to this project or in general?
Yes. Like I said, that was pretty broad.
Well, in general, the Airport Board does make decisions, for example, with respect to property that it manages, leases, hangar leases, those types of things where someone's rights are affected by an Airport Board decision, that would be an appealable decision. And there are other things of that nature, but this appeared to be a disagreement with a policy decision taken by the board, that there was a disagreement with whether or not it was a wise decision. That is not something that's appealable in nature. So the answer is yes. Sometimes there are things that are appealable that the board will do that might be appealable.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
All right, we have a motion on the floor. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess I think probably 10 of these 16 points are on my list for our next joint meeting with the Airport Board. But I corresponded with the city attorney earlier today. I'm not finding something that under our appeal code we can take up in the quasi-judicial sense. So I'm going to support Mr. Jones' motion.
Okay. Any further discussion? Clerk, will please read the motion.
Mr. Jones's motion is that the Assembly not accept this appeal.
Okay. Is there objection to that motion? Seeing and hearing none, the motion passes. Staff reports, Mr. Manager.
No, thank you.
Okay. Assembly reports, starting with Mayor. Saturday, I went to Ketchikan for the christening of the new ferry, Taslina. It should be noted it was built in Alaska by Alaskans. That's very important. Juneau's presence was well noted and well received in Ketchikan, as well as other people that were there from Southeast and from around the state. Congratulations to those that worked on Project Playground. It was a true community effort with everyone pulling together. And I want to put in a plug on the first fundraiser, because we had the first fundraiser with legislators from around the state that pulled together and put on a fundraiser and raised over $100,000 to get us jump-started on that. Their band helped us, and we saw the sweat equity this week by the Juneau community, and congratulations to everyone that worked and helped out there. Friday, I'll be going to a crime conference confronting Alaska's crime wave in Anchorage with the police chief. And because I'm going to be gone, Deputy Mayor Nan Curvis will present the Mayor's Award for the Arts Friday. I want to say goodbye to Amy. Thank you for your stellar service. And I hope to never see you in court. And a thank you to Norton and Beth for their service on the assembly. Thank you. That was a job well done to both of you. And that's the mayor's report. Mr. Dankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For committee reports, the Committee of the Whole met on August 9th, where we discussed housing incentives. We had an update on that. We discussed the Juneau Economic Plan, where we had an update on that as well. And we discussed Housing First Phase 2. Our next meeting is scheduled for August 29th, tentative, and I reinforce that tentative right now. Agenda topics include the Airport North Terminal. I think we just talked about that a little bit under an appeal. The abandoned vehicles and a comp plan memo that came from the Planning Commission. And that's all I have for my committee reports on my comments and questions. You nailed me on Project Playground, and you took that one. What I would say, if Mr. Keel was correct, I didn't pound any nails. I did spend 2.5 days making more chili than one man should make in his home. And it was great to see all the people out there working, and they did a great job. The Golden North Salmon Derby is coming up this weekend. I encourage folks to get out and catch those fish. I tried to spare as many as I could this summer. Let them pass my net. I would also like to thank Norton Gregory and Beth Walden for your service on the assembly. It was a pleasure working with both of you. Appreciated that. I want to say congratulations to Aukman Triathlon winners, John Bursell and Jordan Callahan, and all the participants in the race, because if you can do that race, you earn congratulations. I would like to say as well, thank you to Ms. Cosgrove. I appreciate that. We don't always agree on everything. However, we usually find a way to laugh about our ability to disagree. I enjoyed the hiring committee work and the work that we did selecting you for the position, and I appreciate the energy that you brought to the position as well. See, and we're laughing about it right now. So it was fun. And lastly, since I've been suffering since April, I wanted to remind everybody that the Treadwell Arena is open for business. That's all I have, Mr. Mayor. Okay. Thank you.
Who did you want to congratulate on that one?
Me. I get to go skate again.
No, I mean Ms. Cosgrove.
What was that?
What is, Mr. Nickervis, for what did we hire Ms. Cosgrove?
What? Oh, did I use the wrong name? Sorry.
Yeah. I was confused.
What time is it? I was looking at Amy Mead when I said that. All right. That's only the second time I've said something wrong today that I'm aware of.
Unforgettable. All right, Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Lands met and resolved a few things, I think. David Lindrum, Landscape Alaska, wants to purchase land next to their landscape property. And with that request, they agree to grant to CBJ 30 feet easement, and that will then make our easement 60 feet. Deckhand Dave is requesting to purchase the Pocket Park at the Gastineau property. and they would then plan to put food carts on it. CBJ and Gaston Apartments settled with the Gaston Apartment owners admitting fault and agreeing to pay $1.5 million to CBJ. The Bernstein Building, building next to the Mendenhall Wastewater Treatment Plant, is something the city is looking at purchasing to use for wastewater collection. The Bernstein Building is appraised for $485,000, and the owner is willing to sell it to us for $565,000, an $80,000 profit above the fair market value. And the Assembly has to authorize that purchase above fair market value. And I don't know when that comes to us. There was a discussion about Chicken Yard Park. There are vehicles, and particularly one vehicle, that uses the park to access his or her home. And the playground equipment can't be installed as long as there are vehicles on the property. So that's an issue that Parks and Rec's trying to work out. Project Playground is really looking great, and I love the blue. Best wishes to Amy. Like Mr. Kelch, I don't want to see you there, but it'd be nice to see you somewhere, okay? Norton and Beth, we may see one of you back. Who knows? We'll see. Thank you, though, for all you've done. Airport report. There's $2,245,538 to the airport for various capital projects. And I think that's it. No, that's all. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Assembly Finance Committee last met Wednesday, August 8th. One thing we dealt with tonight was taking up the supplemental funding for the CCFR additional ambulance. We also took an initial early look at a possible funding matrix for waterfront uplands purchase and development at the Archipelago property. The finance director laid out a possible set of funding sources for that and took annoying questions from me and interesting questions from the rest of the committee. We got an update on the Recycle Works program funding and some of the changes that staff recommends we bring forward on that. Some of those have the potential to impact utility bills and look at the motor vehicle, I always say this wrong, motor vehicle registration tax. So those issues will be coming back before the group and we'll need additional work. It also took a look at the possible labor costs that would come if the city took over maintenance of historic cemeteries on Douglas. The Finance Committee requested that the manager include that in his FY20 budget come next spring. Let's see. That's the Finance Committee report. The UAS Campus Council met shortly before that, actually. It was on August the 6th. The chancellor and the president of the Central Council of Tlingit-Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska signed an agreement. They will coordinate more and better on various vocational and technical education programs. There are a number that the tribe offers, everything from office-based programs to commercial driver's licenses. And they have the opportunity to expand some of those offerings. The goal is to do those things in partnership with UAS so that both institutions can hopefully do more and better and more efficiently. Along the same lines, the University of Alaska Regents have recently been doing some work on the budget that the legislature gave them this last year. They elected to reallocate some pretty significant funding, including for career and technical education, everything from diesel mechanics to certificates in accounting. They have lowered their CTE tuition by 25% across the system. So that's a significant change that the university has made to prioritize those opportunities for Alaskans. So if you were ever looking, now's the time to take another look. Let's see. The Regents will, by the way, be meeting here in Juneau on September 13th and 14th. There will be an opportunity for public testimony statewide by teleconference, but during their meeting, of course, they take public testimony in person, and the public is welcome to attend. The university's website will have information about that. Then the other thing of note coming up on the at the university is that the Regents included in their base budget funding for the PETUS program, which I will probably also get wrong. I believe it's preparing Indigenous teachers and administrators for Alaska's schools. Rinalda Cariente Brown is directing that program here in Juneau. She's also an assistant dean. And so that's a very promising thing. That program has been very successful. Its funding was very much in doubt. The Regents have placed a priority on that. So that's a great opportunity to collaborate with the College of Alaska College of Education here at UAS. Heading up to the Municipal League summer meeting in about 2 weeks, I believe Ms. Cosgrove will also go to work with the managers, Municipal Managers Association. As far as I'm aware, no other assembly members are going, so I will report back after that. And then just a couple of other things. I already mentioned that Mr. Nankervis's chili really was good at Project Playground. I have to apologize to Ms. Cosgrove, who was there volunteering a lot and working in the tool shed. I have this bit that I was supposed to return to you. This is the one you probably spent a day and a half looking for, so I'll set that here. I'm sorry. Mr. Nankervis, my kids took home two bowls of your chili once everybody else was done with lunch. Had the opportunity to attend the fundraiser auction for Helping Hands out at Valley Church a couple of weeks ago. That's a great organization. And does good work. Their auction is always fun. My appreciation to CCFR, to JPD, and to a whole lot of neighborhood associations for all the National Night Out events. Those were really great. They're a wonderful opportunity to connect our first responders with our communities and our neighborhoods with one another. So thanks for those. And then I got to see a number of you and serve food along with you at National Guard Day back on last month, I think. And then before I thank our recently resigned assembly members, I'll take one of their duties since the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee liaison has moved on. I did attend the last PRAC meeting. They recommended that we take the action we did on the historic Douglas cemeteries, also move forward a historic plan for Evergreen Cemetery. It was a evening of honoring those who had passed at PRAC, but they also addressed the chicken yard issue that Ms. Becker mentioned came before the Lands Committee. And they heard a lot of impassioned public testimony and a lot of willingness from the neighborhood to work collaboratively with the city and try and find some good solutions that don't disenfranchise neighbors or require anybody to close the park. So I'm looking forward to those conversations and the creative ideas that can come from the city and the neighbors working together. And with that, let me join others who have thanked Mr. Gregory and Ms. Weldon for their 2 years each of service on the assembly. It's a lot of nights and a lot of weekends spent reading when you'd rather be playing. We appreciate it. It means a lot. My thanks also to Ms. Mead, who is headed from the frying pan to the fire. But if anybody can handle it when things get hot, I'm confident she will. So I hope to see you, as others said, around town.
Thank you, Mr. Kill. Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Public Works and Facilities Committee met on the 6th of August. With one member out of town and not available on the phone, one member having resigned. Ms. Gladyshevsky agreed to be on the phone for about 3.5 minutes when she was in cell phone service, made an omnibus motion, and then we were done. However, two of the issues we dealt with public hearing today, one was introduced on the consent agenda, and our next meeting is on the 27th. And I hope Ms. Glaszewski is here because she and I are the only two remaining members of the Public Works and Facilities Committee. As you all know, the superintendent of the school district has resigned and the school board has accepted his resignation. His last day is August 15th. On the 27th of July, the school board met and accepted the resignation and made a decision to recruit internally. On the 2nd of August, they interviewed the three internal candidates, and they had a public meet and greet prior to that. I was able to sit in on both of those meetings, found them very informative. On the 6th of August, the school board met and appointed Dr. Bridget Weiss as the interim superintendent through June 30, 2019. They have, so their next school board meeting is on the 14th, which is tomorrow. And I will not be there. I will be in Fairbanks for the Marijuana Control Board meetings. It is at Thunder Mountain for those who may want to attend. And I think then their next meeting after that would be September 11th. On the city calendar, there's currently a retreat scheduled for this Saturday. The school board chairman told me that with an interim superintendent, that retreat probably won't take place, but I don't think it's been officially canceled yet. Also wanted to know that on 8/20, Monday, is the first day of school for grades 1 through 12, and starting on the 23rd will be the first day for kindergarten. The Commission on Aging has canceled their August meeting. However, they do have a meeting at 9 a.m. on 8/22 with a subcommittee to begin a discussion on the 10-year survey that we have asked them to do. And so a subcommittee will be meeting 9 a.m. at Juneau Economic Development Council on 8/22 to begin the discussion on that survey, which should take place within the next year. The Downtown Business Association met on 8/7. Not a lot of discussion of interest for the assembly. Their next scheduled meeting is for 9/4. They tried to switch to 9/11, but they didn't get much interest, and I haven't heard if they've done a doodle poll. So I don't know exactly when their September meeting is. As far as comments, I will be leaving on the flight at 7:30 in the morning to Fairbanks. I will get back on Saturday morning for the Marijuana Control Board. If you've been reading the press, we are, I don't know if we're doing a lot of work anyway. Also, my thanks to Amy. I won't be here for your going away on Friday. I will be in what appears to be on a weather report, the rainy city of Fairbanks. But I have appreciated working with you. I have, I don't know, maybe been one of the major thorns in your side every once in a while. But I have really appreciated your advice and your willingness to listen. And I'm going to miss you a lot. And maybe in a month when you're settled in, if judges eat lunch, I can buy you lunch. Norton and Beth, thanks very much for your service. And I really appreciate you stepping forward for the past 2 years. Just a hint of bitterness. I wish one of you or both of you had been here tonight, because one of our votes would have been a hell of a lot different. Thank you. Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Glaszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Assembly Human Resources Committee met this evening and has some recommendations. We would recommend the appointment of Shannon Crossley to the Historic Resources Advisory Committee for a term ending June 30th, 2021.
Objection. Nomination carried.
We would also recommend the appointment of Caleb Pyman for the youth seat on the Youth Activities Board for a term ending August 31, 2021, and also Kiana Potter for a term also ending August 31, 2021.
Is there objection? That nomination is carried.
And we heard reports from the Historic Resources Advisory Committee and the Youth Activities Board both boards do a lot of work for the city, and it was great to hear from them. The Youth Activities Board has redesigned their scoring system to make it easier and more consistent. They actually did an analysis of the scoring that they had done in the past, and were able to make it more consistent with a new system. So that's good news there. The hospital board met on July 24th, talked about a lot of technical things, not of interest to the assembly probably. Their May financials showed a gain of about $2 million, so that was good. And the CEO evaluation continues. They worked a bunch of time on that. They meet the next and the August 28th. They meet on the fourth Tuesday of every month at 5:30. They changed their meeting time to 5:30. The Affordable Housing Commission met on the 7th of August. They spent a considerable amount of time talking about a proposal for Mr. Coogan to do a demonstration project financing a single manufactured home, and we're examining the parameters of that and to seeing if that was something they would support. And they're also talking about, again, Title 49. The Planning Commission Title 49 Committee met today, and they wanted to make sure they got their recommendations into them, so they'll talk about that at their next meeting. And they meet on the first Tuesday of every month at 5:15, and they meet in room 224. I just wanted to mention we passed the mining ordinance. Since I am the lone member, assembly member of the mining committee left here, I wanted to mention that and to thank the mining committee subcommittee members, Ms. Weldon, Mr. Gregory, and myself were the assembly members. Mr. Volkers, Paul Volkers, and Ben Haight were the planning commissioners. Roman Matika and John Cato were the public members, and I wanted to thank all of them for their hard work, their months of work, going through the ordinance to simplify and reorganize it to make sure that it wasn't duplicative, and the city attorney deserves a big round of applause for that as well, because she is the one who helped explain it all and also make it a lot clearer. And so she did a tremendous job on that and a big service to us all. So I'll just get in my thanks to you for your straightforward and clear-headed answers. I really appreciate it, and like everybody else, I don't want to meet you in court, but really, we're going to miss you very much. So you have big shoes to fill, and thanks to Ms. Weldon and Mr. Gregory for your service. Now I get to spread out on this side for a little while. That's kind of fun. And thank you for stepping up and running, and to all the just ton of candidates that we have. You know, as far as I know, 5 for District 2, 3 for the area-wide, 4 for mayor, maybe. It'll be a fun exchange of marketplace of ideas, and good luck to everybody. And to anyone who's willing to do that, hats off, and thank you for your service. And that's all I have.
You're listening to KTOO Juneau.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the 8th, I attended a LEPC, Local Emergency Planning Committee meeting. Some of the highlights from that, just as a reminder, the Red Cross, their members of the LEPC, they're deploying all over. I mentioned, I think a month ago, that they had people from Juneau and Hawaii for the volcanoes. They now have 3 people in California for the fires. Let's see, Suicide Basin overflowed or released, I think, since the last meeting. And one of the things that was talked about was there were problems with the alerts. As a resident of Killowich, I was actually happy to get any alerts. I didn't care what they said. But the problem was apparently flood warning, flash flood warning. So they're working on that, and hopefully they'll pin it down. The main thing from the LEPC meeting, though, was I think the membership recognized that the reports from the individual members were kind of overtaking the meeting itself, and they had far less time to work on emergency planning. So they're going to re-rack that, and the reports will be done by email, and the meetings will be more work sessions for actual emergency planning. So that's the LEPC. September 12th is the next meeting. On the 2nd, actually, I attended the Clinkett and Haida Elders Lunch, and I think that's a fantastic place to go if you want judo history, and I also found out that it's a fantastic place to go to find out all the different bear reports that are going on right now. So they have a lot of knowledge. They had a lot of questions about what's going on in the city, and if anybody gets a chance, it's every Thursday, and I could give you the number of point of contact. I'd like to say thanks also to Amy. I've been here the least amount of time. But one of the things I'd like to point out is something that people don't normally think of. When I did get elected, onboarding was actually incredibly smooth and accurate, and I felt very prepared, not just by the manager's office, but also by our city attorney. So thank you very much. I hope that continues for the next people coming in, and good luck in your new position.
Thank you.
I'd like also to say thank you to Ms. Weldon and Mr. Gregory. Kind of lonely over here. I appreciate you listening to my jokes. I appreciate you know the advice from both of you over the past several months. I hope that did not lead to your decision to bail. But thank you very much for your service, and you got more service coming. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Edmondson. Continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Is there anyone signed up for that? Then that brings us to executive session. Mr. Dan Kerbis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move we recess into executive session to discuss a subject matter which might, with some people, prejudice the reputation or character of a person, specifically to discuss the city attorney replacement.
All right, let's take a 5-minute recess.
I forgot to mention something.